Begin the current daf. Masech des Vachem daf Kuf Yedal. Begin on the bottom line of Kuf Yed Gimel and Beis, where the Gemara continues to explain the halacha of our Mishnah, which opened up this parak titled Paras Chatzos, which was discussing different types of karbanis that one would not be liable for the issur of Shchutei Chutz, even though one is doing it out of the Azar, one's not going to be liable. So we spoke about the Paraduma, we spoke about the Sarla Azazel, where though one's doing it out of the area where it's supposed to be, but since it's never supposed to be brought El Pesach El Moed, so one's not violating, not bringing it to the El Moed to be liable for doing it outside the area where it's supposed to be done. Then the Mishnah continued and said a whole category of types of karbanas, where the Mishnah quotes Hareveya, Vahanirva, regarding an animal that's sodomized or was sodomized, and a whole different list of karbanas, which are exempt if they're done out of the area of the Azar. Now, on that as the Gemara, the pasuk that the Gemara, that the Mishnah brings, is a different part, not from El Pesach El Moed Lo'iveir. Brings it from Lefnei Mishkan Hashem, only that which is fit to be before the Mishkan of Hashem. These karbanas, which are not fit, because they're invalid, because they sodomized, was sodomized, or the whole list that the Mishnah describes, therefore, they're going to be exempt from this violation of Bechutz. On that as the Gemara, V'anami Tebikli Mi Pesach El Moed. But why is that not also valid to be excluded from the first pasuk that the Mishnah brought from the Sarla Zazel and the Paraduma, where these are also not fit to be brought to the Azar, and they're not supposed to be brought El Pesach El Moed to be liable for doing it outside. So why do we need another pasuk, and it's not good enough to exempt it from Pesach El Moed? Says the Gemara, as we contain type of coffee, Dalam and Aleph. So the Gemara explains, we understand those two that we just quoted from the Mishnah. The animal that's sodomized or was sodomized. Mishkachas lo, you could find that it would be necessary to exclude it from a different word in the pasuk, from lahakriv and not from el pesach el ma'id. We daktashinu mi'ikar, where it was initially sanctified as a carbon. Vahadurava, and then it was sodomized. Oh, so there, since it was at one point viable, and then it was later rejected because once it's sodomized, it can't be brought as a carbon, although it was already sanctified as a carbon. But you could still call it that it was fit to be brought Pesach El Moed, because at one point in time when it was sanctified, it wasn't yet sodomized. So therefore, it's not excluded from a Pesach El Moed. Why? Because you could interpret that what the Pasuk is saying is, well, Pesach El Moed lehevioi, meaning at the time when it was fit to be brought before it became Pasul, you didn't bring it, but it was fit to be brought. And then later, even when it becomes pasul, if you slaughter on the outside, then you're going to be liable. That's what we could think. Now, in contrast, let's say by the Sar HaMishtaleach, which the Mishnah had previously mentioned, which that, as the Gemara explained in the previous daf, is talking about after the confession already was, that's exempted from Pesach El Moed, because there, when it was fit to be brought, it actually was brought for the Hagrol and for the Vidui. But once it leaves after the confession, which is how the Gemara explained the case of our Mishnah is talking about, then it's not Roy Lovey at all. It never had a moment of a viability. But here, where it did have, and only later that it was sodomized, then I would think to say, okay, maybe that one would be liable from a Pesach El Moed Levi, because it was fit to be brought a Pesach El Moed. But it's going to be invalidated. It's not going to be liable for the Issa of Shchutei Chutz because of this new part of the Pasuk of Lefnei Mishkan Hashem. Because right now, ultimately, even though it's after it was sanctified, but it's not able to be brought as a carbon. So therefore, one's going to be exempt from doing it outside. But Ella, but as the Gemara, the next categories, the next cases that the Mishnah speaks about in this category, where it's excluded from the special words of Lefnei Mishkan Hashem, Ella Muktzav and Eved. For example, the next two cases, which is it was set aside for idolatry, or if it was actually worshipped as for idolatry, where there for sure you have to say that the case is talking about that before it was sanctified, it was already set aside or worshipped as Avodah Zarah. Why? Because as the Gemara explains, because if you would think it was only worshipped for Avodah Zarah after it was already sanctified as a carbon, as we just explained how we have to say it for the Rebbei and Benirva, but then cannot become forbidden anymore by being set aside as worship as Avodah Zarah, because Ein Adam Eisa Davish Ein Shaloi, a person cannot prohibit something which is not his. It's not the person who's worshipping. It's already Hashem. It's already Hekdesh. So therefore, how can we understand this case of the Muktzav and Eved regarding afterwards by having a worship? Well, that you can't, because it's not going to make it prohibited. You can't make it forbidden. It's already Hashem. And regarding before, so then it was never Roy Lovel Hashem, because it was already worshipped as a Avodah Zarah before it was sanctified. So that should be excluded from Lefnei Oil Mayid and not from the special Lefnei Mishkan Hashem. Says the Gemara, no, but Kachim Kalim, the types of karbanas we're talking about are the lower level karbanas, but leave the Rebbe Glili. The Amadri says, Kachim Kalim, the lower level karbanas, Mamun Bailam Hu. It's money that's owned by the owners, and therefore it's not totally owned by Hashem, and therefore it could become prohibited, even though it's already sanctified, when it's worshipped by a person of Avodah Zarah, and that's how it could be exactly like the case of Revei Venerva, where it was Roy Lover Lol Moed. So maybe therefore you would think you'd be lying. Well, that's why you need a special pasuk of the Mishkan Hashem. The Tanakh learned a Braisa. The pasuk says in Meikram, Umal lo mal b'Hashem, and the person had taken a misappropriation. He committed treason against Hashem, where the pasuk continues, v'chichesh b'amisa, because he denied to his friend regarding something that really was his friend's, and he denied that he had it, and he swore falsely an oath, which we're talking about things that are l'Hashem, but it's also b'amisa. How so? What's Hashem's, but also his friend's? L'rabbis, kachem kalim, it comes to include the lower level karbanas, where if someone denies having that person's carbon, and he swears falsely, and then he admits, that's what the pasuk is saying, that he's going to be liable for Hasham Gezelis, a special carbon Asham, for having attempted to steal. Why? Isn't that only something that relates to a person, not to Hashem? Because Shehin Memoinai. Because ultimately, those carbonas, although they're Lashem, but they're also the owner's money, and therefore it's still going to qualify for Vachicha Shva Misa for denying to his friend, Divrei B'Yisai Glili. And therefore, it also is possible to make it Isser as Avodah Zarah, even after it was already sanctified, because it's not totally owned by Hashem. Therefore concludes the Gemara, so Hilkach therefore comes out. Revei Venerva, where we all have to say that these cases are talking about, that they became problematic after they were sanctified. Again, as we said, because if they were problematic even before they were sanctified, they would never roll over L'Almayid, and we should really exclude it from L'Pesach L'Almayid L'Avir. We have to say that all these cases, they only became problematic after they were sanctified. How so? So explains the Gemara. Regarding Revei Venerva, although it's already Hashem's, already sanctified, how do they become forbidden? Because if it sodomizes or gets sodomized, Divai Erva, this is something relating to immorality, and therefore it could take effect even on something that's already a carbon, and therefore, the only way from excluding it from being liable for doing it on the outside is from Lahakrav carbon, Lifnei Mishkan Hashem, because ultimately it cannot be sacrificed as a carbon. As the Pasuk in Birkach of Beis says, Ki Mashchasam Bahem, because their disgrace is in them. And wherever it talks about Hashchasa, as the Gemara says elsewhere, it refers to either idolatry or regarding a Divai Erva, sexual immorality, which applies to over here regarding sodomy. Muktzav Anevid, regarding the case of when it was designated or worshipped as Avodah Zarah, so that's Avodah Tzkechavim, that's idolatry. That, as we said, could take effect even because by a carbon, because B'kachem Kalam, Tom Lager B'Yisai Glil, it's a low level carbonus, and therefore it could become forbidden because it's still owned by the owner. Now, the next cases, which we didn't speak about, that the Mishnah quotes, of Esnan and Mechir, if this animal was swapped either for relations with a harlot or with a dog, or Kalayim, if it was a mixed breed, or Yetzer Dofen, or if it was born Caesarean, where, again, as we explain, all these cases that if we want to say it's excluded from the special pasuk of L'Hakrav Karban, then that's not going to be excluded from El Pesach El Ma'ilohevi, as we said, obviously at one point we have to say that it was appropriate to have been brought to the Oil Mayid. So the only way you could find these cases that we're going to need a special pasuk to exclude them is Bevlodis Kaddishim, is if they're the children of a carbon. Now, and therefore, they became invalidated when they were in the womb of their mother. So, they were ro lovi el ol maid, to be brought to the entryway of the ol maid, when? If that was before they became an esnan or mechir. Now, the reason for that is because if, let's say, one was going to bring the carbon, which is their mother, the embryo, the fetus, would be brought with the mother as the carbon al pesach el maid. And therefore, they're included with that, and therefore, they're sanctified. But yet, as we're going to shortly quote, they're not going to become problematic until afterwards. Now, because as Rashi explains, had it been that they themselves were sanctified, but not as a carryover from their mother's sanctity, then you wouldn't be able to have these cases. Because the halacha of Esn Mechir, which if it was swapped for a dog or for relations with a harlot, cannot take effect on something that's already sanctified because it's not the person's. And this we learn that from a pasuk in Masechtas Tumah Daf Lamed Beis. And if it was already a esnan beforehand, it was something that the animal she got the animal from relations, and then they went and sanctified as a carbon, well, that is already excluded from a pesach el moed levi. It was never fit in the first place. So too for the mixed breed or if it was born through cesarean, where if it was sanctified only after it was born, well, it was from birth already a mixed breed or cesarean. If it's not fit, it was already excluded from a pesach el moed. So rather, says the Gemara, these cases must be talked about when they're the children of karbanas, where initially with their mother they were ro lovei el moed as a fetus. And the reason for this is that, so, but then later they became problematic. How so? Kesavri, because Kesavri, he holds, V'ladei kadoshim, the children of karbanos, b'havayasin hin kadoshim. They become sanctified as a bona fide carbon with their birth. So therefore, the esna and the mechir could take effect on them if, let's say, as a fetus, the man having relations with the harlot said, hey, I'm going to give you this embryo, this fetus, for the payment for that relations, where it doesn't get its own sanctity until it's born. So therefore, it could take effect because it's not kachim yet. Yet it would still be brought al moed, not because itself is kachim, but because it's the child of a carbon, and the child of the carbon gets brought as a carbon with the mother. So it's raw lovei al pesach al moed, but it's going to be excluded from behikr of carbon fnei mishkan Hashem, where it's not fit to be brought as a carbon. Yet, however, the esna mechir could take effect, and all these things could take effect. When are they taking effect? In the stomach. They're going to be taking effect because they're only becoming, the sanctity is only taking effect when they're born. But the problem already started in the embryo and in utero, and therefore it's going to take effect. But yet, it's still al pesach al moed because it was still going to be brought agav iman through the mother before they had that iser of being the mixed breed or all the other things that it got. Now, the reason why I used the terminology that the children of the karbanos become sanctified only by havayasin, which we translate as in its birth, is because that terminology of havavaya, of existence, is where we actually learn out that that's where their sanctity takes effect from the words asher yilacha in the pasuk, where the pasuk says raka deshecha, that refers to tmuris, asher yilacha, that will be for you, which that they become sanctified too. The Gemara Tmurin Daf Yudzayin Amud Beis says that refers to the vladis, the children of karbanos, that they also get sanctified, but that's only at the time when they're born. Now the Gemara continues to explain the halacha of our Mishnah that continue talking about items that are exempt from being slaughtered and sacrificed outside the Hazara. Said the Mishnah, Bali Mumen B'chulu, blemished animals are also not fit to be brought as a carbon. Therefore, one's not going to be liable if it's doing it outside. And so to etc. And Oisle Ves B'nai B'chulu, also if it's not fit to be brought as a carbon, simply because one had already brought the child or the parent in that same day, and one cannot bring a child and the parent on that same day and slaughter it, and therefore, if one slaughters it on the outside, since it's not viable to be done inside, one's not liable for doing it outside. Now, regarding these cases, Reb Shimon disagreed, and he said that if it's ro lo v'lachas man, if it would be fit at a later point in time to be brought, it's just however lacking eligibility right now, but it's not totally possible, then one would be violating a loisa, say, for doing it outside instead of doing it inside, even though right now one cannot bring it, but that's just temporarily, but at the future it's going to be eligible, therefore even now one would be liable achasman. Now says the Gemara with Tzrichi, and the Mishnah had to say three cases, which it did, which was in the Smachleikis, Reb Shimon and Rabban. Why? Ditan Bali Mumen, had we only said the first case, let's say when it was a temporary blemish, which Reb Shimon disagrees, because although it's blemish, not fit to be brought as a carbon right now, but when the blemish passes, since it's not a permanent one, one's going to be liable for a loisa, say. So if we only said that case, we would say Mishim de Meisi, because ultimately, right now it has a blemish, so it's repulsive, a blemish thing that's not perfect to be brought for a carbon for Hashem. So that's where the Rabbanan say one's going to be exempt for doing it on the outside because it's not received inside. Avo tyrin delay me'isa, but regarding the next case, regarding turtle doves, which are not old enough yet to be brought as a carbon, where they're not repulsive, it's just not old enough. Amid the Maidilay Reb Shimon, we would say that maybe over there they would agree to Reb Shimon since ultimately it is going to be eligible at a later point in time, and it's also not repulsive right now, that one would be violating a negative prohibition for slaughtering it outside. That's why I'd say even over there they disagree. Now, Vitana Tyrant, had we said the case of only of the turtle doves, Mishum Delei Chazi V'Itchu, because it was never fit and then rejected. It was never fit in the first place. Of a Bali Mumen, but regarding the first case of when it was blemished, the Ichzu V'Itchu, that's what's known as Nir V'Nitchu. It was fit at one point. It just then later became rejected because it got a temporary blemish. Oh, Ema de Moidelahu Reb Shimon Rabbanan, we would say maybe over there, actually Reb Shimon would agree to the Rabbanan and to say that even though, yes, when the blemish passes, it's going to be accepted, but right now, ultimately, it's rejected. And it's not only that it was never eligible, it was even the more intrinsic invalidation, which is nir v'nitcha, is more of a rejection than never being eligible in the first place. And maybe Reb Shimon would agree that one would be exempt for doing it on the outside. That's where they say that case too. So again, the first case to say that Reb Shimon does not agree to Rabban, and the second case to say that Rabban do not agree to Reb Shimon. V'itan ha'nitarte, and if we had said these two cases, Mishum de Psula du Gufayu, both of them are ultimately invalidations, problems with the actual animal itself. One is because of the time of the bird is not old enough, another one because it has a blemish. Aval oisei ves benoi, regarding the invalidation of that, it's mechusas man. it's lacking ability because one of the either the parent or the child had been also slaughtered that same day. The psula me alma kasa, where that's an extrinsic invalidation. It's nothing wrong with the animal itself, like a temporary blemish or not old enough. It's just because something else in its environment had been done to the parent or the child. Eimim moedle rabbon Rabbi Shimon would say that maybe rabbon agreed to Rabbi Shimon where it's not really something intrinsically problematic with the animal. It's just a technical problem on the outside. Therefore, they would say it's not rejected, and therefore one would be chayav for doing on the outside. Tzricha, they therefore had to say all three cases to say that in all three cases there's a machlekes of Shimon rabbanon, where rabbon hold ultimately now it's not ro, and therefore one's not going to be chayav for doing on the outside. And Rabbi Shimon says no, since it's going to be ro lo b'lachar zman, one would be chayav for doing it on the outside right now. As the Mishnah explained, that Shahayu Rabbi Shimon, because Rabbi Shimon said, whatever is ro, love, elachazman, even though now it's what's called machusazman, it's lacking the timing, because although now it's not eligible, but ultimately when time passes, it's going to be eligible. Therefore, one's going to be chai for doing it even right now on the outside. So says Gemara, my time is Shimon, what's the reason for Shimon? What's his source for that svara that one, ultimately now it's not ro, love, elachazman, it's now a pesach elachazman, elachazman, so why is one chai for doing it on the outside? So Amr below Amr Shlakish, it says, because the Amakra, the Pasuk says in Devarim, and this is in Perikud based Pasuk Ches, where it says, Loi sasim, kechoy lasher anachno oisim pahayim, says Moshe Rabbeinu, do not do like everything that we're doing over here today, which the Pasuk there concludes, ishkala yoshev einav, everyone does as it sees fit in his eyes. So what's this Pasuk referring to? So in the Sefri, they expound this Pasuk that Moshe Rabbeinu is referring to when they would be coming into Eretz Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu is saying that today, when we have a Mishkan, so therefore all private altars are forbidden, so we bring our karbanos only in the Mishkan. So therefore, all karbanos are fit to be brought, all types of karbanos, because everything is brought in the Mishkan itself. But said Moshe Rabbeinu, but when we're going to come to Eretz Yisrael, there's going to be 14 years of conquering and dividing Eretz Yisrael. At that time period, what's known as Gilgal, which then that's where the ark was. So at that point in time, we're going to be permitted to have private altars. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu was saying, that no, over there you shouldn't do like everything we're doing over here today, meaning to sacrifice obligatory karbanos like we do over here in the Mishkan. Rather, what will we be permitted to sacrifice in those days? Only ishkala yashav einav, whatever a person sees fit in his eyes, meaning something that are nadarim and nadavis, things which are not obligations that he either donates or he takes a vow to, which is just a person sees fit in his eyes to donate. Why? Like the Pasuk says over there, kilei basam ad atzah, because he didn't come yet now, which means you didn't come yet to menucha, to the resting place, which is Shili, because that's what he was saying, that even though you're going to be entering Eretz Yisrael when you pass the Jordan, however, you didn't come yet, el basam el menucha vel anachli, you didn't come yet to Shili, to the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore you cannot go ahead and bring every single karmen. As the Gemara explains, Amnu Meshli, so much has been said to the Jewish people, ke'alisu le'eretz, when you come and you enter into Eretz Yisrael, for those first 14 years of conquering and dividing Eretz Yisrael, Yesharis takribi, let us sacrifice only those things which are appropriate, which are nedarim and nedavos, which can be brought in the bama sibra, in the public bama. Meaning even in the main one, which is like what the corollary is in the Mishkan, the Beis HaMikdash. But chayvos lo takribu, but you now go ahead and bring obligatory karbanos. Meaning every single man cannot bring even chayvos, even obligations like sin offerings, even by the public bama, until you come El HaManucha, to the resting place, and then over there you could sacrifice, meaning once you come to Shiloh. Now, explains the Gemara, the Gilgal Agabi Shiloh, the Mishkan that was in Gilgal for those 14 years, in contrast to Shiloh right after when they established the Mishkan in Shiloh, regarding obligatory karbanos, which you're not allowed to bring in Gilgal, Mechusas Manu, that's lacking time, meaning you'll be able to bring these karbanos, but not yet. And as we expounded this pasuk, Moshe Rabbeinu was telling them, do not do these karbanos in Gilgal. So it sounds like that is not allowed to be done even in the public bama or in the private altars. Obviously, we see that mechurtzes man, a karban that's lacking time by a bama, is a loisa, say of loisasun. So that's the source for Bishimon's halacha that although right now it's not ro, but it's rabulachazman, that one would be violating it right now if one does it even in the bamas yachid bachutz, in this isra of Shchutei Chutz. On this, however, asked the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yirmiyahu Reb Zeri, says, Ihachib, if that's the case, that you're telling me that these karbanos in Gilgal, you're calling them Mechusrei Zman, that they're lacking time, and not just because of it's the wrong place, but rather, even though it's the right place, but it's Mechusrei Zman, you're saying in all types of bamas, the bamas tzibah, bamas yachid, that it was problematic, So then, and that's what the pasuk lo yisasu, you now go and do these obligatory korbanos anywhere, even in Gilgal. So then as the Gemara continues to base, then milkanami lilki. Then even if someone slaughters these korbanos, or any korban which is lacking time, which is not yet its time for it to be brought, even inside the Beis HaMikdash, because the Mishkan of Gilgal was essentially the same idea, that was the Bama Siba, the public Bama, which is considered in the interior area, which is what the equivalent of what the Beis HaMikdash is, because the Oil Ma'ir of the Midbar was over there in Gilgal. And still you tell me that Moshe Rabbeinu was saying in the Torah that Lo Yisasun, and I'll do this, a negative prohibition, so one should get lashes, even in the Beis HaMikdash, if he brings a carbon, Mechus Asman, when it's not yet reached its designated time. But if that's the case, Alama Rebzeir, why did Rebzeir say in Chul Naf Peyamad Beis, which talks about that if someone brings the Eisav Es Benay, as we said, a carbon, the mother and child, which one's not supposed to bring at the same day, so when the Gemara talks about it, about bringing a carbon inside the Azar, that the second animal that's being brought, whether the parent or the child, the second one is going to get 40 lashes because of violating the Isser of Eisav Es Benay. Now the Gemara over there asked, but there should be another set of lashes, not just for Eisav Es Benay, but it's also Mechus Es Man. It's lacking its time of being brought yet, whereas the Brisa teaches, how do you know that any invalidation that applies to a Shor and Seh, that's going to be Lo Yiratza, violating an Isser, that's not going to be appeasing, because the extra words it says in the Pasuk, V'Shor B'Seh, when it talks about all the different types of invalidations in the carbon, which teaches that any psul one's going to violate Lo Yiratza. Now, Mechus Es Man is also psul. So one should get a set of lashes, not just for Eisav Es Benay, but also by Mechus Es Man. On that, the Gemara there answers, Reb Zera says that, no, leave alone the lav of Mechus Es Man, because HaKosev Nitkilaseh, the Pasuk uproots it from a negative prohibition of Lo Yiratzeh to just be a positive commandment, as the Gemara there explains, where it says it explicitly as a positive commandment, to say that it's not going to be considered as a negative prohibition, but rather as a positive commandment. And therefore, one's not going to violate a negative prohibition like all other invalidations in Karbanos. On that, I asked the Gemara, but now they're just saying over here that there's an explicit lav in Mechus Es Man of Lo Yisasun. One should get lashes. Why do we say over there that it's only going to be a positive commandment and no lashes? So says the Gemara, no, you're right. Hanemili, when did we say, also over there, explaining there in the Gemara in Chulin, that there's not going to be lashes by Mechus Es Man? That was L'Rabbanan. That's according to the Rabbanan who disagree with Reb Shimon, and they do not expound that there's a negative prohibition for Mechus Es Man, as we explained in our Mishnah. Because actually, if one looks at the Gemara over there, that where it talks about being liable for Eisav Es Benay, that Reb Zera is talking about over there, the Gemara there explains that it technically that Mishnah can't be talking about like Reb Shimon. So therefore, it's not difficult because that was in the Rabbanan that disagreed with Reb Shimon. But says the Gemara, the Reb Shimon, Hachanami. You're right, according to Reb Shimon, as we explained in our Gemara, one would get lashes for even doing in the Azar itself, bringing a carbon that's Mechus Es Man for the negative prohibition of Lo Yisasun, because that applies not only to the violation of Bachutz, of a Bama Katana, but even in Bama Tzibur, even in the Beis HaMikdash, one would violate Mechus Es Man, as we find by Gilgal, where is Mechus Es Man. Or another interpretation, says the Gemara of Nachman Yitzchak, he says that no, not only according to Rabbanan, but even according to Reb Shimon, one would not get lashes for a carbon that's lacking a time where it hasn't reached yet, inside the area of the Azara, including that of Gilgal. Why? Because Panim de Gilgal, that's which we were talking about, the obligatory karbanas, that which is done inside the area of the Oil Maid in Gilgal, legabe shilei kechutz dami. In comparison to shilei, meaning in regards to the obligatory karbanas, since it's not valid to bring these karbanas right now, so not only in time, but even in space, we consider it outside of the area where it's supposed to be brought, because it's not in the right place. It's not in Shiloh, it's in Gilgal over here. That's where we find a negative prohibition because of the Isra Bama, but it would not apply Bifnim, and therefore we could even say that the Gemara over there in Chul, and Reb Zeir was explaining, is not only even according to Rabbanan, but even according to Reb Shimon. So we had one interpretation, what's the source for Reb Shimon? And that says the Gemara, Rabba Amai gives a different interpretation. It says, time to Reb Shimon, the reason Reb Shimon, as he says that there's going to be a liability of Shchutei Chutz, even if it's Mechus Es Man, he brings a different source. Ketan like Lina Braisa. Shimon Oimer, he quotes from Shimon himself, who says in the Braisa, Minayin Lizaveach Pesach Bebamas Yachav. From where do we know? If someone slaughters a carbon Pesach in the private altar, B'shas Isra HaBamas, at a time when Bamas are forbidden, which the Gemara assumes right now, it means to say like in the Midbar, when there was the Mishkan, and then Shili, and the Beis HaMikdash, which then all Bamas were forbidden, How do we know that someone then slaughters a karm Pesach on his own private altar? Shehu b'loisase. There's going to be violating a negative prohibition. Tamalema, that's what the Pasuk teaches in Devarim, where it says, Leisuchel lezbayach esa Pasach. The Inala has slaughtered your karm Pesach, as the Pasuk there continues, ba'achat sha'arecha, at one of your gates, meaning it has to be done in Yerushalayim, in the Beis HaMikdash. You can't go ahead and do it in your own towns. So you see, you violate a negative prohibition. That continues the Braisa, Yochalav Peshas Heter HaBamas Kein. You would think that this would even be problematic at a time when Bamas, when private altars were permitted. Tamalayma Ba'achat Sherecha, that's the Pasuk teaches, no, only when it's in one of your gates, which this interpreting those words a little bit differently, which is Loimarti Lacha, I didn't tell you the problem of slaughtering your own carbon Pasuk in your private altar, Ela B'shosha Kol Yisrael Nechnosim Mesharecha, only when all the Jewish people enter into one gate. Meaning when everyone's going into Yerushalayim, into the Beis HaMikdash, that's when there was Isra Bamas, and it had to be brought in the Beis HaMikdash, that's when bringing your own carbon Pasuk in your private altar is forbidden. But that explains Rabba, says Amos, when is this Halacha of Reb Shimon talking about? If it's talking about afternoon of the 14th of Nisan, which is already the time of slaughtering a Karban Pesach, well, Karas Namim Mechayib, then one's not going to be only being liable for a negative prohibition the way Reb Shimon says it if you're doing a Karban Pesach on your own private altar. There's going to be a liability of even Karas, because at that point, afternoon, it's already received inside, and that's the halacha we've always been saying, that the Isra of a Pesach El Moy Lohivei, if it's fit to be brought inside and one does it outside, one's actually liable for Karas, not just for a negative prohibition. Elalav Koyin Chatzis rather says Rabba must be that this halacha Reb Shimon was talking about even before noon, and you see that even though it's mechus zman, it's not yet time to bring the Karban Pesach for it to be brought as a Karban Pesach. Still, one's going to be liable for a negative prohibition. That's what we learn from this pasuk, and that's the source for Reb Shimon. And that says the Gemara, no, not a raya. La'olam la'acha Chatzis. We could say that the Braisa is talking about afternoon. Ubishas hetra bamas koi. So why is there no karis? Why is there only negative prohibition? Because they're talking about a time when bamas were permitted. For example, let's say in Gilgal or Neve Givon, where private altars were permitted, even though there was a public altar, for bringing a person's own oila and shlamim. And that the pasuk is telling us. But regarding obligatory karbanas like a karban pesach, there is a negative prohibition. Not because mechus hazman, because it's not mechus hazman. Actually, right now it could be brought in the bama gedayla in Gilgal or Neve Givon. Rather, the liability is because of a bama katan, and therefore there's no source to say that halacha mechus hazman from it. It's not mechus hazman. The liability is by bringing karban pesach in your private altar and not in the public altar where it's supposed to be brought. That is the Gemara. Okay, fine, that rejects the proof, but how can you say this interpretation? V'habishas Isra Bamas Kamer, but clearly, explicitly in the Braisa, Reb Shimon says, we're not referring at a time when Bamas were permitted, we're talking about a time when Bamas were forbidden. So how can you say it's talking about a time of Bamas permissibility, but the problem is because it's a private altar? Says the Gemara, no, Isra Bamalai. What does the Braisa mean when it says that it's a time of when Bamas are forbidden? It means it's forbidden for him for this carbon of the carbon Pesach that you can't bring on the private altar. But had to bama l'chaveri, but it's permissible at those times to bring it on a bama for other karbanos like an oil and shlamim, which are a neder and a dava. And therefore the problem is not because of mechus hazman, but rather because of bringing an obligatory karban on a private altar. And based on this interpretation, the end of the braisa has to be read when it says that you would think this would even be at a time when bamas are permitted. That means, for example, regarding the karban Pesach before noon, which then actually one is allowed to bring a Karban Pesach on his own private altar, because before noon it's not considered as a Karban Pesach, it's not fit then, it's actually going to be valid as a Karban Shlamim. You would think that even before noon one would be liable for bringing the Karban Pesach on his own private altar, which is Heter Bamis, meaning for the Karban Pesach. That's what the Braisa teaches, that no, when it says Shar Echad, one gate, meaning, what that means to say is, regarding when everyone's bringing it at that time to the Bama Gedayla, which is afternoon, to slaughter the Karban Pesachs, that's when it's going to be liable for doing a Pesach on your own private altar. But before noon, then it's a heter bamas even for the Pesach, because then it's not Pesach, it's Shlamim, and therefore then one is not going to be liable for this Issa. And therefore there's no Raya for the interpretation of Reb Shimon from this source, which was Rabbi's source. Rather, it's like the Gemara had initially said, that the source is from somewhere else, but not from this Pesach, because it's not necessarily talking about regarding the Issa of Mechus Hazman, but rather because of the problem of bringing Chayvis in the Bamas Yachad. Now the Gemara continues with the halacha of the Mishnah that says mechus hazman v'chulu. So it said regarding other things that, which was one of the categories we had, the machlekes Reb Shimon d'Rabbanan, which was there could be lacking time either in the carbon, it's not time for the carbon yet, or the owners are not time for them to bring the carbon yet. So that's the case that we talked about, where according to Rabbanan, one's not going to be liable for doing shechut echutz. Now, a technical question the Gemara had asked was because the Hani, these cases that the Mishnah described, which is Mechusas Man Bebailov, Azav, Azava, different cases where it spoke about, but B'nei Asham is Ninu? One of the cases that we were comparing was their Chatoas and their Ashamis, those carbon Chatzas and Asham that they bring, that's Mechusas Man. They can't bring it yet. It hasn't their time to bring it hasn't been coming yet, so according to Rabbanu, it was not going to be Lav V'Shchudei Chutz. And that is the Gemara, but the case mentioned in the Mishnah, they don't bring in Ashim, they don't bring in Chattas. Ziri says, you're right, Tani Mitzayra Bahadah, you have to read and amend in the Mishnah, adding the case of Mitzayra, which is also Mechusas Man, who does bring in Ashim, Asham Mitzayra, and therefore you'll have that case also of Mechusas Man. Now, in contrast, the Mishnah said, Elisein B'Shlamein, but their Oil and their Shlamein that they bring, that they will be liable for bringing Bechutz, because although it's not fit to be brought as a Chayva inside yet, but it could be brought as an Adav, and everyone's liable for bringing them outside, even though it's Mechusas Man, because for that it's not Mechusas Man. And that is the Gemara, but Bahani B'nei Shlamein Ninu, these cases mentioned in the Mishnah, they bring a Shlamein, none of them bring a Shlamein. So Mavsheshe said to Nazir, right, you have to learn also another case that's not written over there, say the case of Nazir, who the Yerushalmi Nazir, and that would be the case where it's Mechusas Man, but would be liable because it could be brought as an Ed and Adav inside. Now, that says the Gemara, the Ze'iri Kavur Tanoi. This amendment of Ze'iri, the Tanoim, actually established it to be said and read in the Mishnah text itself, the case of Mitzayra, which would then have us the case of the Asham. The Rav Sheshes like Kavur Tanoi, but regarding Rav Sheshes' amendment, there the Tanoim did not establish it in the text of the Mishnah itself, but as Rashi points out, but we do answer it like in the Gemara and say that it's like Olchisur Mechsur that the Shas brings, which is the words are missing, so it's not in the text itself, but obviously it has to be read like that, which includes the case to understand the Shlamehen, which is the Shalmei Nazir. Now, in this last halacha that we just mentioned, that there's a discrepancy that the Mishnah described between the Mechutzes Man of Chatas and Ashim in contrast to Oil and Shlamim, where Oil and Shlamim, one's going to be liable by Chutz, even though the obligation is not yet time, but one could bring it as a Ned and a Dove, in contrast to the Chatas and the Ashim. So on that, on Reb Chilkiah, and the Gir says, not Rav, but Bar Tuvi, which as Rashi points out, he's only going on the case of Ashim, not on Chatas, because as we're going to see, which will relate to the halacha we're going to describe, in contrast to chatas, a chatas is going to be pasul not only l'shmai inside when it's mechusas man, but it's also pasul even when it's shalai l'shmai when it's done inside. In contrast to an asham, which asham is like all of the kabbanis, as we said in the first mission in this mesechta, that besides chatas and carbon pasach, every carbon that's done shalai l'shmai is going to be kosher. So says Reb Chilkiah Bar Tuvi, so he says, Lo Yishanu, we didn't learn that regards to the Asham, that if one's going to slaughter it now, outside, when it's still Mechutzes Man, says Reb Chilkiah, that's El Lishmai. That's only if he's doing it for the namesake of it being the Karban Asham, or even if he does it without saying anything else, where because the designation that it has right now, where it was designated to be an Asham, that right now it's not received inside. So as we explained already in the halacha of our Mishnah, which was telling us that you're only liable for Bechutz, what would be El Pesach El Moi Elohevi, that you didn't bring it, which you're supposed to bring it. Balashmai, it's Mechutz Esma, it's not time to bring it. He didn't finish his days of cleaning up of his Zav or Hazav or Yeledes. So therefore, you're not chayef outside. Avol, but says Reb Chilkiah, Shaloi Lishmai. If let's say he's slaughtering it now outside, not for it to be an Asham, he's doing it Shaloi Lishmai, not for the namesake of what the carbon is, rather for it to be carbon Oilo, then Chayv is going to be liable for slaughtering it outside now as Mechutzes Man. Why? Chayv V'ro L'Shaloi Lishmai B'fnim. Since, with the designation he's giving it right now, which is not for its namesake, which is an Oilo would be fit, meaning it was done Shaloi Lishmai inside, it would actually be fit, because every carbon, including an Ashram, that was Nizbuchu Shaloi Lishmai, says the first Mishnah of our Masechta, are Kesherin, except for Pesach Chattas. That's why we said he's going in the case of Ashram, not on Chattas. But since it would be accepted inside, it is considered El Pesach El Moi Lohevi, and therefore he would be liable outside. Now, this interpretation as the Gemara, if that's the case, then Lishmai Namin Chayv. Then, even the case of our Mishnah, which you're describing, if it's done Lishma, where it's not viable inside, so you're potter outside, why you should be liable? Why? Hail Vero, it is fit to uproot the designation of it being in Asham to then be brought in. How? L'shalei l'shmai b'fnim, where if let's say you do a shalei l'shmai, this carbon would be viable inside, therefore one should be liable outside. So no, because b'ya akira. You still need to uproot it. And as long as you don't uproot the designation of the title Asham from it, So the presumption is that it's not going to be uprooted, and therefore it's not ro to be brought inside. Yes, if one does the shleil lishma, it's ro inside, and therefore one's liable outside, but we don't consider this animal as it is ro inside if it's still done lishma, and therefore the shma you're potter outside, but shleil lishma you're actually chayiv outside in its mechus zman state. Now this interpretation, maskav la Rav Huna. Funa asks on Rav Chilkin, therefore he disagrees, and he says that no, even when it's done, shleil lishma, one's going to be potter. Because he says, "V'chiyesh l'cha davar," is it possible to have something she'ena kasher lishmai where it's not valid to be brought inside, meaning in the azar right now, in its current state, because it's mechus zman. So to bring it as an ashram, it's not valid, and that's why we said you're potter doing it outside. V'kasher shalay lishmai, it's going to be valid done shalay lishmai to tell you that that's where you can be chayv on the outside. No. As Rashi explains, even though the opening Mishnah said that kol hazvachim kasherim shalei lishman, that's only where it's also going to be kasher lishman. So if you're doing an asham, which it's kasher to be an asham, but if you do it not for an asham, but for naila, okay, then it's going to be kasher when it's done shalei lishman. But in this case of our Mishnah, where, let's say, the owner has not yet reached his time when he's allowed to bring his carbon, what's called mechus zman bebailam, where it's not kasher lishmai to be brought as an asham, how could you say it's going to be kasher shalei lishmai to thus be liable on the outside? And therefore he disagrees and he says there's no such a thing. It's not valid inside shalei lishmai now because it's not valid lishmai inside right now. And therefore, just like your pater lishmai outside, he disagrees with Rav Chelkia, says Rav Huna, and you're going to be exempt shalei lishmai also on the outside. Which the Gemara answers, but v'lai, what you don't find that something can be pasul lishmai but kasher shalei lishmai? But v'harei, but we have as Gemara continues on top of Koftes Vav Med Aleph, Pesach b'shayim meisashana. A carbon Pesach, all the other days of the year besides the 14th of Nisan, de'ena kasher lishmai, a carbon Pesach is not valid to be brought as a carbon Pesach in those times, as the Mishnah teaches Misachta Pesachim, that if one slaughters a carbon Pesach before noon, it's invalid because it says it has to be slaughtered Beinah Rabbayim in the afternoon of the 14th. Yet for Kasher Shaloi Lishmai, we know a carbon Pesach all the other days of the year is actually Kasher if it's done Shaloi Lishmai. So you see, although it's Pasla Lishmai, it's Kasher Shaloi Lishmai. Which the Gemara answers, no, that's not a good refutation, it's not a good response for Rav Chilkia, because Pesach B'Shayim Meisashana Shlam Ninu. That's not considered Shaloi Lishmai of Pesach, which is Kasher, even though it's Pasla for Lishmai of Pesach, it's actually considered a shlam. The carbon Pesach is now a different carbon, and therefore it's being done Lishmai, and that's why it's kasher. But you can't have something that Lishmai is possible, but Shalai Lishmai is kasher, and therefore Rav Huna disagrees with Rav Chelkia, and he holds that even when it's done Shalai Lishmai, since it's not kasher inside, one is not going to be liable for doing it on the outside.